Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? So good to be with you. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself, my name is Rick Paladin, lead pastor here at Bridge City Church, and I get the joy and the privilege to read to you from God's Word and do my best to communicate God's will and God's purpose for your life. How many of y'all, that sounds like a good idea? Come on, before I get started, I just wanted to draw attention to Pastor Nick is in the house. He's back in the back, the White Oak campus pastor, and he's getting better day by day, and I know we're continuing to pray and believe God and anxiously look forward to you being back up front. I know, if you know Pastor Nick at all, you know sitting in the back all by himself, that's not the place he wants to be right now. So our prayers are with you. And the fact that you're, you know, in the back there, we're praying for Rachel too. God, somebody, yeah. And just believing God for complete healing and complete oneness and wholeness in your lives and with Jesus. So we're anxiously looking forward to what God can do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Pastor Nick a great big hand. And so good that you're here. And how awesome. Yeah. Well, December's here, second week in December. And you know what that means? It's Hallmark movie time. Yeah. A lot of guys are saying, I want to let you know, I'm secure. I like Hallmark movies. I can say that publicly. Yeah, I like them. I mean, who doesn't? You like the movie where, like, you know, there's a little bit of despair, loneliness, something going on, right? And then there's like this moment where you're not sure what's going to happen. And then somehow it works out at the end. Have you ever noticed that? Like, it's like, how did that happen? Like, I didn't see that coming. How many of y'all, like, yeah. I mean, all like in about an hour and a half, 2 hours, it all works out. Yeah, that's kind of like what we all do with church every Sunday. There's a little bit of despair, a little bit of something we need. Yeah, and we're not sure how it's going to work out. But by the end of our hour and a half or so, our 15 minutes together, it all works out. But then we have to live it out. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, living it out is different than working. You know, it all worked out. Yeah. And so here we are. We're going to talk about peace on earth. How many of y'all could use a little bit of peace on earth? Yeah. How many of y'all could just use a little bit of peace where you live? Come on. Yeah. Peace in any aspect of our lives. But we're all looking for this peace on earth. So here's the big idea. Want to launch today. Here's a big idea for you. Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings peace through brokenness, redemption, and faith. He brings peace in the midst of brokenness, redemption, and faith. So I want to unpack this for you today. We're going to be looking at the nativity story and some people in there and then bringing it home to you here. But how do we get this peace? It doesn't come the way we think it does at times, especially in the Christian faith. And so let's launch this out of Luke chapter 2. The angels are speaking to the shepherds in the fields. And the shepherds are in their fields, a lowly occupation, obscure, lonely. They're just out there kind of minding their own business here. And this is what happens. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. And it says, the armies of heaven praising God. Now, I don't know what your picture of angels are. Maybe your picture of an angel is like baby in a diaper and a harp. You know, like, but this is like the army, like the host of the armies in heaven. Are you getting a picture of this? Yeah, it comes and it says, and they're praising God saying, glory, glory to God in the highest. Yeah, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. So those whom God is pleased, he gives peace to. Yeah, and so here they are, minding their own business. And one of the first things that's communicated to these shepherds, and so actually they leave and they go to Bethlehem to witness this Jesus, this child here. And so what is this peace? Let me try to give some definitions. I'm going to give some definitions in the New Testament, then the Old Testament, to help you understand what peace is. It's to be joined together as a whole, complete, Yeah, it's when all the essential parts are joined together. It's a state of rest, of quietness. But it comes from a harmonious relationship with God. That's where peace comes from. But I want to point out, we get peace when we allow God to put the disjointed, fragmented pieces of our life back together in His order. It's a state of being whole and complete. It's what we get from God. And now, who gets this? To whom God is well pleased here, goodwill towards men. It's God's good pleasure to us, that through us, that results in faith. I want to let you know this morning that God has goodwill towards you. God has goodwill towards your life. He wants goodwill towards you. He's pleased with you, not necessarily because we deserve it or have earned it, but because Jesus has provided a way for it. That's where we get our peace from. This is so significant here, and that's where we get it. So God gives peace to those who He is well pleased, goodwill towards man. That's us. That's good news. Now let's look at an Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 9, another well-known Christmas verse, if I can use that. In Isaiah chapter 9, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Let's say these next three words together. Prince of Peace. Say it again. Prince of Peace. That's right. His government and his peace will never end. So when you see that word prince, that means authority. Jesus has the authority to bring peace. That really means he's the official on peace. That means he's the official one. Like it means like Jesus is the official sponsor of Christmas. Jesus is the official sponsor of true peace. Have you ever seen that? Like you're watching a show and it's like, oh, they're the official sponsor of the NFL. Jesus is the official sponsor here. He's the one. He has the final say. He has the authority to give here. So that's why we're saying Christmas is all about peace on earth and goodwill towards men here. And so what this peace means, so this was spoken 700 years before Jesus came. This is what we call prophecy. There was a speaking forth in Isaiah about Jesus to come 700 years later. It was going to happen. And you think you've been waiting a long time for God to show up. How many of y'all been waiting 700 years? How many of y'all feels like it? Come on. Yeah, it may feel like it, but it hasn't been. Yeah, 700 years. It may feel like it. But here he says it's peace, shalom, to be complete, whole, sound, fullness. This is where many people, you may have heard somebody say it. Maybe you have said it. Somebody says, how are you doing? My life is full. Have you ever heard somebody say, my life is full? This is it. That means you have peace. That means there's a soundness. There's a quietness. God is putting together the essential parts of my life in such a way that pleases him. That is true peace. And this word shalom. If you were to go to a synagogue on a Saturday, Jewish synagogue or messianic congregation who worship, when you walk in, they would say to you, Shabbat Shalom, peace on the Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom, peace on the Sabbath. That's shalom is peace. It's what we're all looking for. It's what we long to have. That word shalom is found over 250 times in the Old Testament. I think that's a lot of times. I mean, when God speaks something 250 times, that's pretty serious. How many of you have kids? How many feels like you said stuff 250 times? How many of you are still going? Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, there's a lot of times there. But 250 times, it's shalom, peace, peace on earth here. And Jesus brings us peace through brokenness, redemption, in faith. Now let's look at some of the people of the nativity story. May I suggest to you as I read this list of the nativity story people that none of these people that we would deem as a success in our eyes. But could it be They weren't a success in the achievement in and of themselves when God put them together, but they were significant because God did something through them. We have to decide in our lives, do we want to be success, look at my achievements, or do we want significance and allow God to work something through us? And as we look through these people of the nativity story, we see broken, obscure people, humble, just minding their own business when God shows up and gives them like this peace on earth. Well, it starts with the shepherds. The shepherds were the number one. They were the lowest of the low, out in the fields, working days on end, cold, sleeping out in the fields. But who did God show up to? He showed up to the shepherd. I want you to catch that. How about Mary, the virgin girl, a teen? Most of us, we see young girls maybe at the store, or we see them all the time in their teens. We just walk by them, very obscure, very insignificant. But here, God chose her. God redeemed her. And then there's Joseph, the carpenter. All we know about Joseph, he was a carpenter, and he was a man of good reputation. He didn't rip people off. That's how you get a good reputation, by the way. Yeah, he worked hard. He was a man of good reputation. He was a man who did it there. And God chose him here. That's another one there, Joseph. How about Simeon, the faithful priest? Waited years and years and years and years and years and years to see Jesus come. But he was faithful to keep going and going and going. There was Anna, 84 years old, married 7 years. She was a widow, known for prayer and fasting, going all every day to the temple looking for Jesus. Yeah, she saw him eventually. Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom and dad, were barren, didn't have children. But God ministered to them in that moment. Broken people. Yeah. Look at all these. I mean, the only people, like these people saw and experienced Jesus in a very real way. They got some peace on earth, right? The only people that it took the longest for were the three wise guys. You know, the rich ones who were well-educated? It took them a couple years. They didn't make it to the first birthday. They didn't make it to the second birthday. They missed the gender reveal. They missed everything. They missed it all. They took them a couple years to get there. Isn't it interesting that the wealthy ones, the well-educated ones, it took them a long time to get there? I'm just saying, isn't it interesting? What I'm trying to communicate is when we're broken and when we're humble, it gives God something to work with. Isn't it interesting that out of all the places Jesus could be born, he was born in a manger. He was born right in the midst of manger mess. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? That's where God chose for the King of Kings that we sang about to make his grand entrance. Could it be that God wants to show up in the middle of our glorious mess and reveal himself, because it's there he does his best work? Could it be that it's right there in the midst of a humble place and in a dirty place? This is where Jesus wants to show himself. This is where he does his best work. But we tend to get it wrong. It's in these broken places. But all of the people that I mentioned there, every single one of them there, they had a crisis of faith. We don't like crises of faith. Every one of us, if we want to be put back together by God, there's going to be a moment in our life where we doubt and we wonder where God is. There's going to be those times, but it's there that Jesus shows up. So what is a good definition of brokenness? This is my definition here. It's humility, it's vulnerability, and it's transparency. Humble people that are in a low place. Yeah, and vulnerable means I'm open. Hey, you can see the real me. Transparency means you can see all of the real me. Most of us even come to church and we go to religious functions and we have this mindset that if you knew the real me, you wouldn't like me. Most people that we're hiding behind, if you knew what I really thought this week, or you knew what my life really was, and the inconsistencies or the undisciplined or the financial problems or the relationship problems, you wouldn't like me. And most of us, unfortunately, approach God like that. We're trying to hide the real us from God. And let me give you a hint. He knows. But the crazy thing is, he knows, and Jesus still came from heaven anyhow. That's what blows my mind. He knows the real me, and he still came. I mean, are you tracking that? That's what's crazy. He loves you, and he knows, and that's what he sent Jesus for here. But we don't experience peace without brokenness. We have fell in love in our culture with self-sufficiency and dependence. And we think the more self-sufficient I am, the more God will be pleased with me. Rather than, how about it's more dependence on God? It's more looking to Him. It's more seeing, I want to see Him. I want to experience Him. That's what this is here. It's not that here. So let me give you Matthew 1:23, angel speaking to Joseph here. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him. And what does that mean? God with us. This is the big deal about Christmas. It's God with us. It's not I'm coming to visit him. He came from heaven for me and for you. It's God with us. So just maybe we've been getting it wrong. Maybe we've been trying to prove to God how much we deserve blessings when really it's our brokenness allows him to put us back together. Maybe it's in these moments that we feel in a valley, in a pit, in a funk, in despair, in all these places, maybe it's there that instead of saying, God, get me out of this mess, it's our invitation for God, step into my glorious mess with me. Just maybe when we go through the low times, the pits, the valleys, the despair, because we all have a season, we all have a time, we all have a moment where we're going to go through this, because this is a cycle we all go through. We go through times of brokenness. That's normal because it screams to us, God with us, and that only he can put us together. And when he puts us together, we get redeemed and experience peace. Then we get faith. Without faith, we can't please God. So God's not interested in my self-sufficiency. He's interested in my God dependence. Yeah, maybe that's the place we need him to show up here, and we invite God in. I don't know where you are right now with God, but I do know this. There's no place that's so low he can't go. There's no place that's so low he can't go. I'm telling you, he can meet us in these low times. And it's there he completes us, and he gives us fullness, and he gives us, my life is full even in the midst of a mess. I've just come to realize a few things that I don't do December real well for many different reasons. Some of it's it's a slow time, so I don't produce enough. I'm not doing enough. And others, maybe it reminds me of some, I'm thinking it reminds me of some low times, and it reminds me of some not so good times. And you may be saying, man, December's great with you. Praise God, I rejoice with you. But I guarantee you, there is a time in all of our lives that we go through low times. Whether it's a memory, whether it's a certain holiday, whether it's sometimes, whether it's financial or relational or family or of all these things, we go through it. But it's there that God does his best work. So every time we get in despair, we get lonely, we wonder where God is, maybe that's a growth spurt waiting to happen. Because I've realized more and more that our church as a whole, we have grown more in times where I was at my lowest than I was at my best in my eyes. See, that's why I'm sharing with you. Maybe if we embrace the brokenness and the humility and the not knowing everything, maybe we would experience Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe it's there he shows up. Maybe it's there. Could it be here? And we're praying the wrong prayer. God, get me out is not the prayer. God, I invite you in is the prayer. That is the prayer here. In Jesus taking on human flesh in the form of a man and coming in a manger is just the down payment of more to come. Oh, it's the down payment. There's more peace where this came from. Not only that, but you can get some joy. Oh, you'll have to come back next week for that. But not only that, you can get a light in the midst of darkness and find hope. Well, you got to come on December 23rd for that. But there's more. There's so much more where God shows up. That's the difference here. But we have to come to a place where my pain and suffering will not define me. I will not be defined by my lowest moment. I will be defined by the redemption God does of my lowest moment. My lowest moment is where redemption happens. And face it, you can't even meet Jesus when you got it all together. When you got it all together, I want to see you at the throne room in heaven trying to convince God you had it all together. And why you deserve to be let in, other than what Jesus Christ has done and redeemed my life, because I've all my shame, my pain, my problems, my suffering, he took it all on the cross. But we could never have the cross without Emmanuel, God with us in the manger. Are you tracking this? This is how we get peace here. It's not me having all my stuff together. The book of Psalms in the Old Testament, 150 chapters there. Do you realize that 40% of those, 40% are psalms of lament, of pain, grief, suffering? 40%. This is a part of a cycle that we go through to find true faith, to find God as he really is here. That's it. It's in those broken times. See, worry and stress is, I got it wrong, I'm not enough. But unfortunately, many of us go to bitterness. Bitterness is God got it wrong and he's not enough. And many times we go through stress, but then we step over into bitterness because God's not enough. God hasn't provided when he's given us what we really need, peace on earth and peace in my heart. There are many names we have for God, many names. Oh, on my best day, he's Jehovah Shalom, peace. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Those are great names, right? But what about the absentee God who forgot about me? What about the God who hasn't seen that I've been faithful and I've been doing all these things? What about the God who hasn't taken care of my family? My kids aren't where they should be. What about the God who hasn't taken care of my finances and I'm experiencing financial trouble? What about the God who hasn't taken care of my marriage or my family or my job, or I need a job? Where is he now? God wants to change all those names to the God of Shalom, peace for you. And God is about to make an exchange today, your stuff for his peace. You get to lay down all this stuff, vulnerable, transparent, and lay it all out and say, in exchange, I'm picking up peace with God. God is putting me together. That's what I want to experience. So through emotional, through physical times, I want to read you a couple verses in Psalm 34. Love the way this says this. Psalm 34. Is anyone crying for help? This is for you this morning. Is anybody crying for help? I want to let you know God is listening. He's ready to rescue you. How many of y'all just need that right now? Come on. Yeah. If your heart is broken, you'll find God there. Come on. Am I speaking to the right people here? Yeah, come on. Yeah, but I love this. If you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. I love the way that puts that. How many of y'all have just been kicked around a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. How many of y'all, that's the way we feel. We just feel kicked around. Have you ever lost your breath, like fell and lost your breath? I mean, what's the first thing you do? Like, I mean, you feel like you're going to die. Am I right? I mean, you're convinced you're going to die in that moment because you're just trying to catch your breath and you're praying somehow. Even if you don't know Jesus and you lose your breath suddenly, you get close to Jesus. You start crying out. Jesus. Well, you're calling on the right name because Jesus is going to catch your breath. No, I'm sorry. That's what it is. We get kicked. But it's there God rescues us, and he wants to give you your breath back. He wants to give you life. That's what it's about. He wants to give that to us. That's peace on earth here. In red letters, John 14, 27, Jesus' words, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. How many of y'all could use that gift? Yeah, that's the gift I'm looking for at Christmas. Come on. I want a peace of mind and heart. In this peace I'm giving you, Jesus is saying, the world can't give you. The world can't give you. You can look at it in a gift, in a bonus, in a raise, in a job, in a relationship, in finances. The world can't give you this peace. It comes with a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. That's where it comes from. It's He's putting me together. I'm complete and full in Him. This is the difference maker in my life and in my heart here. How many of you ever doubted God? What if we doubted our doubts as much as we doubt God? No, I'm serious. I want to give you permission to doubt your doubts. But we never do that. We doubt God, don't we? Like, every time you think, where's God when you need Him? Why don't we doubt that? I doubt that. Those people at church, they just don't love me. They don't care about me. They all look at me funny. Why don't you doubt that? No, really, why don't you doubt that? Why don't you doubt your doubts? All the doubts you have about God and about who you are. I'm not enough. I'll never be enough. There's God's chosen ones He looks out for. They get peace, joy, and life, and hope. And what do I get? I get manger mess. Why don't you doubt that? Say, I'm doubting that. I doubt that. No, really, we don't do that. So like some way this week, Tuesday or Wednesday this week, you're going to be sitting all alone. Somebody from work or your family or school, somewhere where you are, they're going to look at you and say, are you okay? And you're going to say, yeah, I'm okay. I say, what are you doing? I'm doubting my doubts. They're going to go, Why don't we doubt our doubts? I'm giving you permission to doubt every doubt you have this week. But don't doubt God's word and his word for you. Emmanuel, He's God with me. So I'm not giving you a recipe, but I want to give you some help this Christmas and how to find peace. How many of y'all could just use a little bit of practical help? Here we go. I'm going to give you these helpful hints here. And I just made a list of things that have helped me. As a matter of fact, somebody actually brought a list to me. I gave a list 11 years ago on a Sunday morning. And actually, my list got a little bit longer. They were sharing some of the things that were on there. So I just made a list of all the things I'm doing, and it's helping me, so I thought it might help you. How many of y'all could use some help? Okay, so you need to still your heart and spend some time in front of the tree. Now, coffee helps. I mean, you can drink tea, and I think Jesus will still show up, but coffee helps. No, I mean, we just need to sit. We need to sit down and just spend some time just calming our hearts. Now, if you don't have a tree, I want you to find out when your neighbors aren't home and go under theirs, okay? I mean, if you don't have any tree at all, there's a lot of them decorated maybe in the neighborhood. Just pull up a lawn chair and just sit, you know? They come out and say, what are you doing? Say, do you have any coffee? Come on there, yeah. I like Italian cream, a little bit of Italian cream. Oh, man. Jesus shows up. But we need to store. How about, here's some psalms. I want you, write down those psalms. I want you to read some psalms. I want you to just let them wash. You just read them. How about reading the Christmas story? I've been reading this over and over in different translations. Just a couple, first two chapters of Matthew, first two chapters of Luke. I've just been doing it over and over. Make time for what's important, not just the urgent. We got to build some margin in our life. Running, running, running. Doing, doing, doing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Help me, help me, help me. But this second to the last one here, this could change your life. Stick to a budget. No, I mean, just decide how much you're going to spend and only spend that much. That won't just give you a good Christmas. That's going to give you a good January too. No, I mean, just say, this is what we're doing. If you want to get somebody what they really need, give them the gift of peace that Jesus gives them. Come on. And then invite Jesus into your valley, into your day, into your place and space right here. Just invite Emmanuel in. Say, Jesus, I'm just inviting you in. Rather than praying to get out, invite Jesus in. No, I'm telling you, this is going to be a game changer, because then it's we're broken, he redeems, we have faith, and we're redeemed. How many of y'all think you could put a couple of those into practice here? I'm telling you, they're going to help you. I want to read one more story to you out of Mark chapter 4 before we close up. And we're going to pray for people today. We're going to pray for anybody who wants prayer today. God's going to show up big in your life. In Mark chapter 4, there's a story. Jesus is with his followers. He just gets done doing all these miracles, and he gets in a boat with some followers. And actually, there's more than one boat. There's boats, plural, we're going to see here in Mark 4. Evening came, and he said to them, let's go across to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took with him in the boat. Verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. So get this. Fishermen who knew storms, they knew boats, right? Their boats, it's going under. I just wonder how long it took them to wake Jesus up. I wonder how long they went through. We got this. We got this. I've been through storms before. I got this. Couldn't you just see Peter saying, I got this. Don't wake him. Jesus is going to be so impressed how I got through this storm. But the boat is filling up with water. Okay? Wind is going like crazy here. And they wake Jesus up. They say, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Teacher, do you not care? How many of you ever said those words to God? Do you not care what's going on here in the world? Do you not care what's happening in my life? Do you not care what's happening with my finances, with my relationships, with my job? I said it. And he awoke. He rebukes the wind. And look at those three words. words. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Yeah, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he says, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Like, why did you doubt me? Jesus is saying to you right in the midst of your doubts right now that he has you and he's protecting you and he's watching out for you. Jesus is saying, don't doubt me. Come on, man. We've been through too much. Jesus is saying to you today, I got you, man. I see what you're going through. I see. Jesus sees. He knows. Do you hear him saying that to you today? He sees us. Yeah, it's December, and it's a lonely time, but Jesus sees. And Pastor Nick, Jesus sees. And I don't know, I can't go through all your names and say Jesus sees because I don't know everything going on, but Jesus sees. And he's about to give you a peace, be still. But the rest of the story, oh, usually we stop there, and they lived happily ever after. No, the rest of the story is chapter 5. And in chapter 5, they get to the other side of the lake where they're going, and Jesus gets out of the boat. That's how he got out. And his disciples get out, and they meet this guy, and the Bible says this word, demon-possessed, emotionally, mentally tormented, tormented. And so Jesus and his disciples go and they heal him. He gets healed. The whole chapter 5 is about this one guy. And you know what Jesus does after he ministers to him? He gets back in the boat. He says, guys, let's go. And he goes. Could it be that they went through the storm? They went through the feeling like they were going under. They cried out to Jesus. He showed up peace so that they could get to the one and they could care for the one and they could minister to the one. Could it be? But if we get lost in our storm and we get lost and Jesus failed me, and if we get lost in our identity that Jesus doesn't show up, we'll never get to the one, and we're going to live trying to live in success rather than significance. And significance is God doing something through me. So I want you to get on your seats. There's these invitations. I want you to get an invitation in your hand. Come on, find one here. Just get, everybody got to, you might be sitting on them. I don't know. They might be underneath you. Come on, I want you to hold an invitation in your hand. Come on, I want you to hold one of these. I want you to have it in your hand because you know what? There's people in your life. There's people in your circle I can't get to because they're in your circle. They're across your lake. They're across. I want you to think about the person who's far from God right now, who's mentally tormented or debilitated by physical or emotional problems. Do y'all got one? You got to hold one of these. And I want you to see the hope of just one invitation. There's one invitation of somebody who lacks peace. Can you feel it? Can you see it? Can you see them? Just one invitation, and you're going through your lake, going through the other side, so you can walk up to the one and just simply say, here, I want to invite you. There's somebody at work. There's somebody at school. There's somebody at Aldi. There's somebody at Giant Eagle. There's somebody at the dollar store. There's somebody somewhere that you know you can say, I just want to invite you to come, and I want to invite you to meet the Prince of Peace. He's the official one. He can do stuff that you never dreamed of, and he's about to meet you right where you are. Come on, can you think of the one? Are you willing to invite the one? Can you invite the one that says, peace be still? If you've heard anything that's helpful to you, anything at all today, you say, man, I needed that. That was for me. Just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. Anything at all that's helpful. God, I just pray for every person that's on. We're on our feet today, God. And we are here today not to say we have it all together, but we know you do, God. And God, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of, God, we're not coming trying to convince you of how together we are. We're coming here today to say, God, put us back together in Jesus' name. And if you are here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time where you met Jesus as your personal forgiver of your past and leader to your future. That's a fancy way of saying Savior and Lord. If you don't have that, he wants to take your shame, your pain, everything about that. That's what Jesus came for, to be God with us and die on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1, it speaks of Jesus, and we've been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God. That what Jesus Christ has done for you, have you received this peace from God, that what Jesus has done? If you haven't, you came to the right place, because today's your day. And if you've never done this before, I want to invite you into a relationship with a living, breathing God who loves you and has good intentions for you and has peace, not on earth, he has peace for your heart. So right now, God, move on everybody's heart that's in this building right now. Lord God, move on everybody's heart and people right now that the palms are sweaty, hearts beating, Lord God, and they're just, they're still thinking you don't love them and you don't notice, but God, I thank you for noticing. I thank you for loving them. I thank you for bringing them here, Lord God. And so all those here today that you're saying, I want today to be my day where I want Jesus to be my peace giver. Once and for all, Jesus in my life, God with me. If that's you today and you'd like to begin a relationship with God the Father, I just want you to slip up your hand right where you are. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody here today, you say, you know what, that's me today. I got to have my day with God. Anybody here today, you're saying, man, today is my day with peace with God, peace with God, peace with God, a relationship with Him. Anybody at all? Anybody at all here today? Thank you, Jesus. Bless God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Amen. Now, this is what we're going to do. The worship team is going to sing a couple songs, and we're going to have order. We're going to worship God here. But we have teams of people that have prepared to pray for you. So if you're one of the teams of people, could you make your way forward and come up front right now? If you just want prayer today for peace in your life, any aspect, relationally, financially, job, kids, lack, fear, whatever it is you need from God, He's here for you today. And these people have prepared to pray for you today. So what you're going to do is you're going to come down the center aisles right here, and people are going to lead, and they're going to direct you to somebody here. And they're going to pray for you. The rest of us, we're going to worship Jesus and honor Him. Amen? Can we do that together? So I want you to, right now, just start flooding this center out. Say, hey, I want prayer. Don't leave without having somebody pray for you. Why not? Why not you? Why not here? Why not now? Why not? Come on, just begin to flood. Go ahead. Start releasing people there. Start releasing them. Start releasing. Just flood the center. You want to come up with your spouse? Come up with your spouse. Just get prayer in Jesus' name. That's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let the peace of God flow in Jesus' name. Let's worship God in the house today. Let's come forward. Come in. Come on down. Let peace fill your hearts in Jesus' name.